A market that's been looking at some lower trade, especially when we look at this grain complex. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And a breakdown of this market, especially the soybeans, Mike, they seem to be pulling everybody along to the lower. And now July corn actually was seeing some even lower numbers going on.
Yeah, the soybeans seem like they joined up with the grains on Tuesday, Susan, in my opinion, in that the trade is starting to, I think, get more nervous about the U.S.-China trade relationship. And you and I have talked a lot about the pork and bean trade, the soybeans and the hogs, and how those two commodities in particular help, I think, represent or give kind of an indicator to what the market is thinking when it comes to China. And when both those commodities are going higher, the market is probably friendly when it comes to China trade. And vice versa when the market's going lower. And soybeans and hogs were down pretty hard on Tuesday, and that was different from what we saw on Monday. I think the biggest thing that I think probably is turned the corner when it comes to the trade sentiment that I'm sensing at this point is the progress on the planting of corn and beans, especially in some of these eastern Corn Belt states, Illinois and Kentucky, for instance, and how much farther along we are versus what I think maybe the trade thought we would be. And I've even had a couple producers in those two states, Southern Illinois and down by Owensboro, Kentucky, tell me they were shocked to see the kind of numbers that USDA gave us for planting progress. So I think between the planting progress numbers being much farther advanced than maybe the trade was thinking, and then this US-China trade relationship, we're starting to see these new weekly lows in all the commodities and wheat Monday, corn and soybeans on Tuesday. So very critical point we're at right now.
And some, as I was doing some reading earlier today, kind of have this fear that this might be the ebb and flow we're going to see in these markets, at least in the near future, until things kind of settle down, not only from a planting progress standpoint and weather and the trade perspective.
Yeah, I think that could be, and I think this goes back to over the long haul for the producers out there, if they have on-farm storage, when you have new crop corn and new crop beans already at a very wide basis in many locations for fall delivery, which of the two would be the better to store? And I still think it's going to be the corn, Susan, and I think that because whereas Mexico, I don't think, has bought too much ahead when it comes to their corn purchases from the United States, and Tuesday, we saw the Spain purchase of corn on a flash export sale. In the soybeans, while we saw an unknown soybean flash sale Tuesday, I do think that there's a real good likelihood that between the Brazilian crop size and the U.S.-China trade relationship, we may have a situation where the Chinese have bought ahead when it comes to the soybeans. And so that's where it really, once again, means the product market really needs to shine. And we saw the bean oil really fall flat on its face on Tuesday, and that's not a good thing. And with the ethanol news that we got with the E15 all summer long, you know, on Monday, it just seems to me the supply-demand fundamentals, especially heading into the new crop numbers in the May report, support the corn more than the beans.
Look over to the livestock side, and obviously there's been a lot of discussion about the what's going to happen with the New World screwworm as more issues have popped up on the border and some pressure. Tomorrow's that deadline.
Yes, and I think we did put some screwworm premium into the market, even though the USDA Ag Secretary had said at a trip in Ohio that she had gotten that resolved on Monday night, I believe it was, that she spoke. But it did seem like the feeder cattle really jumped in and on board the rally with the cattle market. And even without the help of the hogs, the fat cattle were able to make new all-time highs again on Tuesday. Obviously, that sharp increase in the choice box beef and that 216, 217 price action in the negotiated cash doesn't hurt. The key will be now, I think, as the April fat cattle go off the board, do we still have that energy to keep this market going higher? Because seasonally, it gets a little bit more difficult to keep the bull running at this point. So wouldn't be surprised to set back after the April goes off the board.
Mike, as we wrap up our conversation today, looking at the livestock, concerns that the demand isn't there for pork like they thought it would be, especially as we continue to move higher on the beef side?
Yeah, that's a good question because I've been very nervous about China and the pork side of the equation. But when I noticed the cold storage numbers last week, Susan, We're sitting at a 4+ year low in terms of cold storage stocks. And I think between that and the fact that beef is just going to be so high priced for the summer grilling season here domestically, hogs probably have a little bit of underpinning. So that, you know, 100, 101 level in the summer contracts, maybe that's too high, but do we need to fall more than $10 or $15 in terms of, you know, moving back down? And I think, you know, $80, $85 hogs this summer will probably be pretty good support given what's happening in the cattle market and those the high prices for the beef.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Mike Zuzulo joining us today. He's with Global Commodity Analytics as we break down the markets in this market wrap-up. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network.